Romeo grinned, his face handsome yet queerly uneven. "I've outrun the law before, cuz. The only things swifter than my sword hand are my legs." Benvolio's eyes lowered to the wax pond. He shuddered. "Juliet's nurse since childhood, Lady Capulet, her mother, and thine own sweet mother, too. All they maternal figures in Juliet's life, all sealed in the same fate. All, I dare say, were at odds with her, out of her favour when they met their ends." Romeo regarded his cousin, his stare quickly becoming a glare. "Art thou saying Juliet murdered them all? That she hath been the one stealing candles and stopping the orifices of various women and ladies throughout Verona?" Benvolio stepped back, his breath seizing. "Oh, nay, cuz! To no such conclusion was my reason aimed. I was but trying to find a rhythm or rhyme to these terrible deeds." Though Benvolio spoke the truth, the jumbled machinery in Romeo's mind cranked and turned to a settled outcome of lunar deduction. His eyes bulged and welled with hot tears. His trembling hands did cover his quivering lips. He let out a hollow cry. "O saints be scourged and Baptist be drowned! What if Juliet did commit the murders? She is a Capulet, after all, just like Rosaline and Tybalt. Oh, wisdom oft comes too late for man when his be damned by blind love and dreamer's fancy. I admit now. Romeo shut his eyes, forcing the words from his broken brain with great effort. "I admit now that I hardly knew the girl. I still hardly know her. Oh, Benvolio, there is such relief in finding and allowing truth. And more truth I will find when I find Juliet. I will make her talk to get the truth. Then I will make her scream, either in lover's embrace or by justice of my rapier. Ha!" Shortly after, good-natured Benvolio went to his room to cry and pray himself to sleep, for never did he feel so alone and helpless. Below three lit windows of his favourite brothel, Mercutio stood in darkness, smiling. In his worm-infested arms he cradled three rats, who all regarded their master attentively. The cursed Ritorno's grin was full of fond memory, boyish triumph, and writhing grubs. "Here," he said to his pets, "here did I frequent when my loins and purse were full. Here did I dull my loneliness. Here Romeo would have thrived in mind and spirit, finding that women are not angels or saints of idol worship, but human beings with the same failings as we men. Had he the nerve to accompany me here, he would have lost his unhealthy appetite for love. We would have stayed happy bachelors by the graces of pretty whores. He would not have married that Capulet, and I would not have been stabbed by one. All would be well still." He shrugged his shoulder, still smiling. "'Tis a shame I died hating everyone. Now I am stuck that way until Queen Mab dismisses me, ah! 'Tis a shame none believed me when I warned them of her." He took a rat by the tail and lifted it to his putrid face. "Now get you to my lady, Anna's chamber, and nibble her sweet ears. She loved when I did that." Spinning the rat o'erhead, he threw it as David threw his stone up, and it went through the lighted window. He pulled another rat and said, "Up you go, my friend, to the nest of Viola, the most voluptuous songbird in Verona. Make her sing by gnawing her teats." He tossed it through the second window. Holding up the third and a final rat, he commanded, "Now to you, I say, chew the toes of Miranda, for although comely, I always thought her feet too big. Shorten them." Once the third rat was upward tossed, Mercutio turned and departed the scene as shrieks and screams broke from yonder windows. His laughter was hidden by the frenzied wailing. And high above Verona's streets, on a window sill long and wide, Tybalt, the dark prince of cats, lay on his side, one of his long legs extended straight up toward heaven, his codpiece damp from his continuous licking.